The Bible is funny.
Well, hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. My name is Anthony Russo, and we are experiencing a first here on the Bible is Funny podcast. We have our first ever repeat guest on the Bible is Funny podcast. And his name is Tim Wyckoff.
That's me. Hey, everybody.
Tim Wyckoff is here. We are in the same room recording this podcast. Last time we were states away from
each
other.
Miles apart. Hundreds and hundreds of miles apart.
Today, in the same room at the same time.
Thinking the same things.
Nailed it.
Almost.
We're here. I'm excited. For those of you that this may be your first time. Here on the Bible is Funny podcast, we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. Big shout out to everybody, all the listeners out there, everybody who subscribes to the podcast. Thanks so much. This is going to be one of our first podcasts of 2021. So
thank goodness.
That's exciting. We're doing it. We're doing 2021. We're here talking with Tim. Tim, I'll give a brief history because we did this extensively last time. Tim and I have been performing comedy together for
since 1920, right before the Great Depression,
right?
And then we kind of kick-started that depression thing.
Sure did.
But we started it and got ourselves
really
out of it.
Big in speakeasies.
Have you seen The Highlander? This is how this goes.
The Highlander.
We do comedy and we look the same for like hundreds of years, and then when one of us dies and gets our heads cut off. I think I have to kill you, though.
What a sales pitch to watch The Highlander.
There can only be one of us left.
Oh, yeah, there can only be one.
Yeah.
I do know that about Highlander. I don't know much else, but I do know that.
But Highlanders would team up with other Highlanders, if I remember the show from my childhood correctly. And then but they would be friends, and then eventually they knew they had to kill each other. So we just have to kill all the other comedians, and then it's you v. me,
right,
brah.
Right. This is a very different spin on comedians and cars getting coffee. But I think it's one that we need to do, is that you chat and it's very nice and low key, and then at the end, well, only one of you who can survive. No, Tim, I don't want to bring this energy into 2021. I want to leave this energy in 2020.
Kill or be killed. All 2020 forever.
Did you watch Highlander when you were a kid?
Of course I did.
I didn't watch
Highlander. Alexi Lawless or whatever his name was. Lorenzo Lamas.
Is that a
real
name?
Yeah, that was his real name. Alexi Lawless is the soccer player.
That sounds like my mom trying to say Alexi Lawless. Lorenzo Lamas.
Alexi Lamas.
Tim is here. Tim usually lives in Nashville, and he's here in Florida, so we get to do this podcast today, and we have a lot to talk about. That's interesting. You're talking about Highlander you watched when you were a kid. Are you watching anything right now? What's your? Do you have any recommendations for the people at home to watch on the TVs?
Oh gosh. I just started watching Community on my own. I know I'm like 14 years late to this game, but I really dig it. And it was something that my wife and I would not probably watch together, but now I kind of want to go back and start watching it with her again. But recently, before that, was like The Good Place, which also, I get it, I'm like years behind on that.
Right.
But The Good Place has been just perfect. Kristen Bell is amazing.
She's great. Community I liked a lot. But we've talked about, you remind me of the guy, what's the guy's name?
Jeff? Don't say Jeff. Am I Jeff?
What's the comedian's name? That's the main character.
Yeah, Jeff.
This is going
to... McHale.
Yeah, Joel McHale. You kind of remind me of him. You don't like that?
I'm honored by it. I don't think I deserve it. Last time we were on the podcast, you called me Jesus. So, like, Joel McHale is like, it's a little bit down, but
we're
I'm like,
down.
You can't keep calling me like the main character of the story. Cause,
right. But no, I thought Joel was great in that show. And it's like it was my first Donald Glover interaction. And I was just like, this guy,
he's so good.
What a star!
Yeah,
like he just is. And then the dean was the other. I don't know that comedian's name either.
Couldn't tell you.
I'm really good at celebrity names, obviously. That's why everyone tunes into the podcast for my hot pop culture takes.
Yeah, well, next week you're having Lorenzo Lamas on.
Lorenzo Lamas will be here. But he is hilarious. One of my all-time favorite scenes, he comes in a peanut bar suit, a payday suit. It's one of my all-time favorite scenes in any show. But Community, I don't know how far in you are, but I'm curious that you like that show because it gets weird.
Oh, I'm season one.
Okay. It gets weird.
Okay.
In a way that, like, I like.
Oh, okay.
But I've recommended shows to you, and you don't like when shows get as weird as I like when they get.
Well, maybe I'll just tune out here soon.
I think we'll have to stay in touch while you watch Community, because it starts way more story-oriented, and then it starts to go into, like they have oh, God. I just like the show a lot.
All right, we'll
but
talk.
They have one that... it's like a Dungeons and Dragons dice or something. I'm gonna get killed for saying that because I'm sure it's not right. But they keep rolling the dice and they replay like a day over and over again until they end up in the worst timeline. It's really funny and smart, but it's you generally like stories that move and things.
Well, I also can't wait for a Dungeons and Dragons episode. That sounds right up my alley.
You bring up a really interesting point, though. The way that we watch shows right now is funny because you can come onto it, like, so much later, right?
Yeah.
Like, somebody out there is like...
I have kids. I'm not supposed... I can't watch it now.
No.
Whatever's happening now. That's insane.
None of us can keep up with all of this.
No.
But somewhere, somebody's going to, like, walk into or jump into their Zoom call at work on Monday, and they're going to say... Has anybody seen this show, The Office? It is so funny. And, like, that's fine. There's a lot of TV. You could have been watching other TV, but it's hard to really be like, man, the funniest thing just happened on The Office. And everyone's like, Dale, we know. We watched it 10 years ago.
What were you doing? Oh, I was catching up on all the Highlanders I missed over the last 15 years.
So I just finished Three's Company. What do I watch next, y'all? But it's like these, especially these like cliffhanger-y shows, you know? Someone who's like, I just started watching Lost. Everyone's already been through their Lost cycle and had their experience with it. But somebody out there is just experiencing it for the first time.
That is me, usually, coming to the game late.
You're a late adopter?
Yeah.
That's true. That's true about you. Well, you're going. What are your? Do you have a New Year's resolution coming into 2021?
Nope. Way to ask a leading question there. I have no expectations for this next year. You know what I did last year was after a crazy 2019, I got done with it, and my wife and I said, "Hey, let's not make 2020 anything crazy. Let's just do normal things this year."
Mm-hmm.
And you saw how that plan
pretty
went.
Pretty normal.
I'm not doing that to 2021.
You just want to put no. I feel like you should set just like a very attainable.
Nope. No goals whatsoever. If we survive it, that's good enough.
You can read Tim's motivational book coming out the end of this year. No goals whatsoever.
The bar is so low, anyone can just walk over it.
You can't help but feel successful after reading Tim's book. No goals whatsoever. I'm going to write the foreword to that book, if you'll let me.
Please.
Well, one thing I want to talk to you about, Tim. So, like I said, we have been friends for a very long time. We've been performing together for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last couple of years, we've both entered a new stage of life where we're parents. Mm-hmm. We're parents now, mm-hmm. Tim. But we're on, you have two girls.
That's right.
I'm going to tell the people at home about your two girls, give them, set the stage.
Yeah, they're both like super cute. One is 4, one is a year and a half old. Olive is older, Ivy is younger. They're very sweet together. Olive, I compared it this week, Olive has given us more like headbutting confrontation than either of my sister's older two kids combined in their whole lives. Mm-hmm. And they're like 20 and 19 or something, like 20 and 18. Like Olive at 4 years old is like ready to fight. She's ready. She's fired up. She's feisty.
Yeah.
And the other one, we don't really know what she does, but she's very sweet. She's very cute.
And that one...
The other one. Ivy.
Ivy.
I already gave her name.
Olive and Ivy are great. It's a great sister's names. Olive and Ivy. You want to say them together.
Mm-hmm. We're big on plants.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to adopt a kid and name him Hemp.
Fern. And so on the other side of the... On the other side of the courtroom. That's a Carmen shout out. Everybody who can catch that, right? Yeah, Carmen.
Carmen San Diego.
Carmen, no.
Electra.
Carmen, Righteous Invasion of Truth. on the other side, I have Crosby. Oh, we've talked about podcasts. They're tired of hearing about these two. Crosby is 5. Finn is 2. And that's where we're. I have those two.
Yeah.
You guys all know how they're doing. And they're doing great. They're doing wonderful things right now. So I want to talk about parenting. First thing I want to ask, just right out of the gate, and this is just for you to ponder on, is there anything about parenting that's been like different than you maybe thought it would be to be a parent? Any sort of expectation you had going in that played out a little differently?
Gosh, man, everything. Like, there's nothing that... I had no real frame of reference. Like, you know what it's like to, I don't know, see somebody in a certain, like a store or something, discipline their kid. Or you watch your friends sort of parent their kids and tell them when to go to bed. And, like, you have all those kind of plans going into it. Mm. And then you realize that, like, personalities are involved. You have your own circumstances going on. You're trying to still live your life as a human being.
Right.
And then this other little creature sort of interrupts it and also comes to help fulfill some things in you. And like, it can make you the best version of you possible and at the same time can bring out the absolute worst in you. and so it's 2020 there's no expectations. I think that, that can be true or that can kind of hold up. Things will happen that you never thought were going to come.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. For me, when you say that, it makes me think I've become like, I would say in some ways I would see a parent child interaction in a store or something prior to having kids myself and be like, oh, I don't really care for how that interaction's being handled. Yeah. And, now with kids, I'm like, go on, friend. Whatever you're doing to get through this Target trip, I'm sorry. We're all in this together in a sense, and I feel nothing but, you know, that kid is just losing their mind at Target, and I've now been the parent pushing the kid around who I let the kid play with the toy while I was trying to get some stuff done.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd take the toy away.
Right. You do it at the very last second, right at the register, and you set the toy down where it doesn't belong, and you just push through the rest of your shopping trip. Yeah. Yeah, I've been that person who's like, oh, you're so lazy for leaving this product here at the front of the store.
Right.
You jerk. No, it's probably a parent.
Yeah. And even just the like, there's so many things that now being in it, I'm like, every parent out there doing whatever they got to do to raise healthy, happy kids, you just got to do it. You got to do whatever you got to do. A lot of expectations get thrown out the window. But let's go to the Bible, Tim, because that's where I like to talk. And one of the things different about our parental experience is you are raising two lovely girls.
Thank you.
And I want to talk about this passage here from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel... chapter 18 we're in. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're going to...
Hang on, I'm flipping to it.
Everybody turn in your Bibles.
Okay, I'm here.
That's a fun way to listen to the podcast is to make a little sword drill out of it with you and your friends. Did you ever win? Were you good at sword drills?
Yeah, I think I cheated though.
You were like a missionary kid though. Well, yeah, so you had
the Bible with the little tabs on it.
Did you have tabs?
I mean, one of my Bibles.
Hated kids with
tabs. How many Bibles
did
you have growing up?
I had one Bible.
You weren't a real Christian if you only had one Bible.
And I had no tabs. And I was just running the sword drill game. And then the tabs came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, you Tabbers.
Yeah. Well, that's like being an NFL receiver that doesn't wear gloves.
Right. The gloves.
I'm really good at catching the ball, I promise.
The gloves came out and I didn't. And it was like, how do you like really justify asking for a new Bible from your parents just to win at sword drills? I don't.
Maybe everybody doesn't know what a sword drill is either. Sword drill is where somebody at the front of a room tries to get you to go to a book of the Bible. Everybody holds their Bible up in the air, you know, the sword of the spirit.
The sword.
And then they say a book, and everybody has to go there, and whoever gets it the fastest holds their Bible up in the air, and they are the better Christian.
They are superior Christian.
And we know this from an early age who was a better Christian, because if you can get to that Bible book first, like you knew where it was.
Right. I don't know about yours, and mine were always really random. Like, it wasn't ever, like, a meaningful passage. It wasn't like,
no, passage, right,
like turn to John 3:16. It was like, Habakkuk, 1:2, go.
It was also a great way to kill time, I think.
Oh, for sure.
If it's a rainy day and you can't bring your kids outside.
Yeah.
Stupid sword drill. make all these, like, slow kids feel like they're less than. Yeah, that was good.
And you always had to start at the table of contents, or usually you had to go to the table of contents to go to the book, and then...
I mean,
I
had the books memorized.
Okay.
Table contents.
Weird flex, but okay.
Come on.
Sword drills were great. And then the started coming out on the phones, and at least in the beginning, that was like definitely a lesser. It was like, oh man, I like my Bible. I like getting my hands on my Bible.
Oh, you mean just doing your Bible on your
phone? When you had your Bible on
your
phone.
Not doing a sword drill on your phone as an adult.
Well, I imagine it must have, I can't.
Killed the sword drill industry.
There's a youth group out there still doing sword drills. Good on you. But with the phone, you can just pull it up really quickly.
Yeah, because there's a kid in there like checking Facebook. He's like, "Yeah, I'm
still looking for John."
Genesis.
It's really tough.
Genesis is probably here somewhere towards the bottom. It's got to be. I don't know. I'm just a kid. I'm too dumb.
I'm just a kid. Oh yeah, and then I remember the other thing we got wise to is you're trying to get me to turn to the passage because you want me to read it, and then it was like nobody wants to be the first one to get to. Nobody's like in a rush to get to this thing because now I got to read it once I get there. So I remember distinctly a moment where it was like, all right, see, he's the first one to turn to this. And everybody like very slowly,
Flip.
Like, I just don't know.
Flip.
I didn't know these maps were in here. Do you guys have maps in yours?
Yeah, they're all in the back.
Frustrated small group leader. Fine, I'll read it again. That was always the worst. And then I always had a real tension. You'll respect this.
You watch me.
If there was like the word hell was in the passage, because I don't like saying that word. Or back in the King James Version, there were some other words.
By
that
respect
I would,
it, I mean like totally make fun of you.
I was like,
pausing.
I can't read this.
It's in the Bible, Anthony. This is your one chance to say it.
I know. It was such a tension in my spirit to not want to say it, but then I would read to a pa- I would get to a passage. That was King James days, kids. These kids these days, man, they got all kinds of cool translations.
They can say hell whenever they want.
Awanas would have been so much easier if we had these translations today. Anyway, that's given you plenty of time to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 18. You should have been there by now. And this is, so we've talked about David several times in this podcast. This is a little blip from the story of David. We're going to start in verse 20. 1 Samuel 18, verse 20. Let's just start there. It says, "Now Saul's daughter Michal was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Now this is a fun fact, because you just asked this question. We were talking about this briefly. There was a kind of a thought, a exchange here earlier in the passage, where Saul is talking to David. This is in verse 17. Saul said to David, "Here's my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you in marriage. Only serve me bravely and fight the battles of the Lord." For Saul said to himself, "I will not raise a hand against him. Let the Philistines do that."
Right. I don't want to kill him. Let somebody else kill him.
So the deal, you can marry my daughter, but as like the order of the day at this time, there's like a dowry type idea. David can't afford anything like that for the daughter of a king. So Saul is saying, you fight in the army, and that'll be the deal. You can marry my daughter, you fight in the army.
Yeah, it's going to be bad PR if I kill him.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
Because at this time, people are really starting to dig David. David is growing quickly in popularity.
Yeah.
So let's go back to our verse. Now Saul's daughter, Michal, was in love with David, and when they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So Saul said to David, now you have a second opportunity to become my son-in-law. In the next couple of verses, David's pretty apprehensive about this deal. It seems to be coming from a place of humility.
He's nervous about getting married. I get it.
He's nervous about getting married. David says in verse 23, do you think it's a small matter to become the king's son-in-law? I'm only a poor man and little known. So he's very humble about the approach. But then here in verse 25, again, we get sort of the Saul trying to accomplish his task through the Philistines. Verse 25, Saul replied, say to David, the king wants no other price for the bride than 100 Philistine foreskins.
So foreskins times 100 is 400 skins? So
Saul replied, say to David, the king wants no other price for the bride other than 100 Philistine foreskins to take revenge on his enemies.
Wait, how many foreskins? I just want to say foreskins more often.
Foreskins and 7 years ago. Saul's plan was to have David fall by the hands of the Philistines. So verse 25, the whole plan's out on the table now. The plan is David can't possibly kill 100 Philistines.
and if he did.
Most unsavory type of evidence that he killed them. So then we get this passage, verse 26. When the attendants told David these things, he was pleased to become the king's son-in-law. So before the allotted time elapsed, David took his men with him, went out and killed 200 Philistines and brought back their foreskins.
Go the extra mile. I think that's what Jesus was later talking about.
And Tim, here's a passage that I don't want to spend a lot of time on, but it has to be addressed. Verse 27, they counted out the full number to the king so that David might become the king's son-in-law.
Somebody's got to count it. You just show me a bundle of foreskins. I don't know if there's 100 in there or if there's 75. Honestly, I don't know what a bushel of 1,000 foreskins looks like.
I can't. So this is just the image to me is, Saul, you're sitting there. Your plan has obviously not worked. It's obviously you had a plan. David's not going to make it through this. Here David is before you. And not only has all this transpired and gone poorly, but now you're counting out these things in front of you. I can certainly imagine him.
You can say foreskins.
51, 52. Okay, I think, you know what? I think we got it.
Well, you gotta have like stacks of them. I think you have 10 foreskins. Me. There, 10 foreskins. Like you put them on a little ring so you don't lose count. Like you stack up pennies when you're counting them as
sure,
a kid.
Right.
You can't have like 100 of them all in a row. So what if you kind of lost count?
Right.
You put them in stacks.
Right.
Or a wristband or something of
right
of foreskins.
Definitely, maybe the most.
You braid them together. You do a little rope.
Okay.
I'm just saying, there's got to be a way to organize.
I definitely the most, you know, worst case scenario of getting what you asked for is Saul being like, "Aha, you'll never make it through this challenge." Oh, okay. Here you go. This is almost like here's a parent. Back to parenting for a second. Sometimes you're trying to get something done. And you're trying to give your kid like a task. You're like, what if you draw something? What if you draw this thing? And they go and they draw the thing and they bring it back to you. And then they maybe draw a couple of them. And then they're like, okay, cool. You're going to hang these up somewhere. You're going to like, you got to do something with these now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I did ask for these. So I understand why. I don't want to compare my kids' art to foreskins, but I'm afraid I might have. They count out the full number to the king. So that David might be
200. Slam it on the table.
And 200. That's the other thing.
I got 199. What do you count it again?
When you pass 100, does Saul that? Okay, here we go. We got it. We have done it. No. Want to make sure we.
Well, maybe that's his way of saying, yeah, you know what? I'll just take two wives now. Thanks.
So then this is where I actually want to spend more of our time, because this is such an interesting like little winding tale for me, because you get here to verse 28. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter Michal loved David, Saul became still more afraid of him and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. So this is my Yeah, let's just jump again, just to give full picture. Saul's daughter, Michal, was in love with David. This is verse 20. When they told Saul about it, he was pleased. I will give her to him, he thought, so that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. He's got this whole plan. And then we get to the end of this chapter, verse 28.
I'll use her as bait to get all the foreskins out of her.
So gross. Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter, Michal, loved it. It's almost like Saul realized is the line there. Like, it's, oh, wow, here we are. Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained his enemy the rest of his days. So there's a little bit of a motif here, Tim. I don't know if you're familiar.
With the word motif? Yeah. Actually, I kind of forget.
Saul realized that the Lord was with David and that his daughter, Michal, loved David. End of verse 29. And he remained his enemy the rest of his days.
Yep.
So when you think ahead, we were up in Nashville fall of 2020. We had a lovely time. Thank you for letting us stay at your house. And our kids hit it off really great. And Olive was saying that she was considering marrying Crosby.
Yeah.
And we didn't allow the ceremony to take place and things like that because they're too young. We couldn't invite everybody because of COVID and everything.
Right.
I just wonder, as you look down the road and you think about Olive already talking about marrying Crosby or Bo, she is interested in Bo, which is her cousin.
Yeah, no.
She's considered marrying him. What do you think about this, how do you think you'll interact with this person when Olive brings this person home? Do you thoughts about that?
No, I'm
apprehension.
Like, I'm raising her right now and encouraging her to be like as strong and tough and like whatever she wants to be. That's what I'm raising her to be. And I think what's happened so far is I've realized I have this like little feisty warrior on my hands. And so, yeah, I think I'm kind of raising somebody whom whoever she marries will lead to their probable death. So she will go after them and kill them. And so I'm like, yeah, I get what Saul's doing here. He's just trying to set up this inevitable future for David. And so, if she finds a guy she's interested in that I also want dead, then yeah, I'm gonna be like, yeah, go knock yourself out, kid. I've prepared you well.
So you think it's all in the prep at this stage? In the next couple of years, do you think you'd let Olive go on a date?
That's a great question. And I like, I don't think I'll be able to control that, knowing what my 4-year-old is like right now. But my wife and I have both discussed that, like, we're more probably going to have to go to this person, whoever she's interested in, and say, hey, look, I don't think you know what you're getting into. Like, this girl will run you to the ground if she wants. It means she loves you, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's a lot to handle.
Right.
If I didn't like someone, I would probably just not give them that warning and just let her date freely. So I'm not too worried about her. I think she's going to be, I don't know, like there's certain things I obviously don't want her to get hurt. I don't want her to have her heart broken. I don't want, amongst other things that can happen. But like, I sort of expect, I don't know, the way life could go for her, that she's going to be resilient and pretty tough. And like,
right. She'll
be the offender more than the one on defense. But
that's true though. The heartbreak. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I wanted to talk about this with you because, you know, there's motifs, stereotypes. Sometimes they work. Sometimes they don't. So I don't want to take them as absolute truth, but that there's that father-daughter. It's like a difference in that relationship.
For sure.
So I have two sons, and it's just a different nature. It would be, I can't say that actually, because I don't have a daughter. So I just know the nature of the relationship I have with my sons. So I'm curious when you do, you think about somebody, she comes home crying because of like her heart being broken.
Yeah.
You think you're going to kill that?
Oh yeah, I think I already just cried
because of it. Yeah. Person.
No, I don't know. It's something I don't want to think about. I don't want to think about that future. I know it's gonna happen.
Right.
I know she'll be sad. She gets sad about all sorts of crazy stuff now. Not crazy. It's normal.
Right.
To be upset about not getting four lollipops that morning. but yeah, she gets bummed out about stuff, and
right.
when sad stuff happens, she like has a hard time shaking it. So
right.
like heartbreak is something so real, and like I can't put a Band-Aid on that. I can't just give you a hug. It's
right.
something that kind of lingers for a long time.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
To give you like a number as far as age-wise, yeah. when I think I'd let her date, I think it's safe for the rest of the world if it's like 31.
She's a Proverbs 31.
Oh, crap. Now I have to change
woman.
That.
Yeah, and I think some too about like you and Ed. That's your father-in-law,
mm-hmm.
for those listening that don't know Ed personally. Yeah, it's just an interesting dynamic there. Do you feel like Ed, like, hates you a little bit?
Oh, yeah. He had to.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
Yeah. It helps keep this engine going.
Right.
It's just me constantly trying to be like, no, see, I'm okay. And then knowing that I'm not good enough for her.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's always just out of reach. I always want.
For sure.
Rob is my father-in-law.
My favorite story was that I was doing, he came over to do some work on our house, and we were like putting nails on a roof, and I didn't have the tool that he wanted. And we were putting like some shingles up there, and he's like, I told myself years ago that I'd never do this without this particular tool. And he's like, and here I am. And I was like, well, I looked at him and I was like, oh, that's so kind. And I go, Ed, thank you so much. Like, well, thank you for doing this. Like, I'm so glad you're here and you broke your rules. And like you broke what you said you wouldn't do. And
right.
I was like feeling warm in my heart. And he looks over me as we're on the top of the roof and he goes, I'm not doing it for you. And I knew exactly where I stood. We're like 8 years into marriage. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, I still don't.
No, yeah.
I haven't lived exactly up to anything. Right. Okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm good with it. This is how
right.
I've lived up until now.
So now put you on that roof, and you're on that roof.
Yeah.
And you're, because you just spent a year and a half making all of a tiny dollhouse. So I imagine when she has a real house, you're going to be over there.
Yeah.
You know you're going to be over there.
Yeah, I'm going to hate that spouse.
You are.
Just a little bit.
You are. A little bit.
I know.
A little bit.
I know. That's what keeps the engine going. Like,
right.
If I'm all buddy-buddy with that person, then who's to say they'll give up? Like, they'll stop trying.
Who's to say? We need to make sure they know approval is just on the other side.
Just out of reach.
If you would just do...
Just right there.
If you would just do the screen, if you just redo that screen,
yeah.
that'd probably be it.
Uh-huh.
And then you do
and
it.
You're like one screw up away with my daughter, and I might kill you.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you just had like a half a screw up away.
There's a great story about my in-laws. Rachel and I did break up for a period.
What?
And I know that's stunning to the audience. It was the dark ages, we call it. And Rob was like, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill that guy. And Carolyn, my mother-in-law, is now famously has said, like, Rob, you need to be careful because I got a good feeling he's coming back. And Carolyn was right. But yeah, you put yourself in Rob's shoes. You're like, yeah, I would have killed. I would have killed me.
Yeah.
Do. And then when Rachel and I got back together, I had to have a sit-down one-on-one with Rob to really talk about things.
Yeah.
And I think when we got married, we definitely were a little bit better, and we're good now. But yeah, it's this unique relationship where you can feel loved and accepted and all these nice words, and then also a little bit like you just will never. Also, you will never be good enough.
Right. And I will clarify. I don't feel like I'm hated. There's certainly not the right word.
No.
It's definitely not. I'm not completely approved of.
Right.
That's. For sure.
Right. Like, you're always up for inspection.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
An audit could happen at any moment.
You're allowed to do business.
Uh-huh.
But at any moment, I can come in and make sure that things are running the way they're
uh-huh.
supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
And it feels as though they could shut the place down at any second. At any second. And then we'd just have to be shut down.
Yeah.
So you think you're ready now to carry on the tradition? with your daughters.
For sure. I've learned from the best, as far as I know.
Knowing you like I do and the nature of our relationship, I think you're going to be perfect at it. You're going to be perfect for this job.
Oh,
just
thank you.
Letting them know the things they're not doing right. Just enough.
Thank you.
The tools bit is also great. And because Rob has, I'm sure Ed's similar. Like, he just has more tool. He has every tool. He's done the projects. So he has the tool from when he did the project. So he's always at my house. Hey, do you have a... And I'm also really good at tools, so I'll just name 100 right now. Let me name all the tools.
Name the saws
you have. Your screwdrivers, you have your hammers.
Yeah.
And that's just normal stuff for me. I can go way beyond that. I'm not very handy for you listeners who maybe assumed that about me.
If you couldn't tell.
But yeah, he'll always be like, oh, do you have a blah, blah, blah? And I just...
Well, I have these tools. You want to just look and see if one of these will work?
Is that you're better at this, so maybe you have a different... I do that. I offer an alternative that's obviously not going to work.
No, I know what the tool is.
But do you, if you don't, do you offer, do you say like...
Oh, no, I have the tool.
Okay. Okay. The books of Bible memorized.
No, if I don't have it, it ends up being like, well, I guess I should put that on my Christmas list, huh?
Okay, yeah, that's a pretty good play.
Yeah, I parlay that into something else.
Yeah, I'm always like, and my embarrassing thing is I'm always like, yeah, I'm gonna go look in the garage.
just
I know it's not there.
Go out there, shuffle some papers.
I'm
come
sure.
back in. It wasn't there.
I'd be lying if I said I have not said a little prayer on my way to that toolbox. Just like, God, one, let me know what it is that he's talking about, because I walked away pretending like I did.
Crap, I left my phone inside the house.
I can't Google this.
You come back in and you're like, I swear I had two of these.
I had it.
You know, somebody came in and stole my toolbox one day, and that's where all my missing tools are. You know what that's like.
You know how that goes.
As a fellow tool lover.
As a toolman.
Toolman.
Is that what we are when we have the tools? We are the toolman?
Uh-huh.
There can only be one, though. When two toolmen.
But what would I cut your head off with?
I mean, you could use a level. you got your wrenches, your classic wrenches.
Yeah, just
there's a lot of good options in the toolbox, in my toolbox. I don't want to speak for everybody.
Right.
Well, that sounds good. I was worried about this. I wanted to talk with you about it, but it sounds like you're ready. It sounds like you're as ready as you can be.
Thanks.
And that's the important thing.
Gosh, just having your approval is enough.
Well, not quite there. But thank you, Tim. Thanks for being on the podcast again.
Thanks for bringing me on again, and in person this time.
And in person.
I think next time I'll be so close to you that I will have switch seats, and I'll be in charge of the podcast.
This has been the most obvious takeover. Your plan has not been subtle, but it's working, so that's good.
You invited me, bro.
Tim's back. Tim, I'm sure we'll be back again, and we'll talk about some other part of the Bible, of which he has all the books memorized, I guess.
Probably the maps.
Per him.
It'll be the maps in the back.
Can you say all the books of the Bible right now, since you bragged about it?
I can. It would just take so long.
I'll say all the tools. You say all the books of the Bible.
Fair enough.
I'm the first half down because of Crosby. He's got a song going right now in the car. So I can do the Old Testament. Real good. But thank you for listening to the podcast. Tim, again, thank you for coming on. Hey, you can follow along with all of Tim and I's hijinks at Isaac Improv. Follow us on Isaac Improv and follow us on YouTube. I want to say at Isaac Improv.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to say at for everything.
At Instagram, it's at Isaac Improv. YouTube, I think if you go to isaacentertainment.com, that takes you right to our YouTube channel.
I started putting an at in front of my mailing address. Because it just made sense.
You stopped getting mail, though, didn't you?
For a period, and it was fine.
Figured it out.
Tim at...
You can follow Tim and I stuff there. Hoping to shoot more videos this year. We were making videos pretty regularly. Every once in a while on the Bible's Funny Instagram, I get asked by you folks about when we'll be doing videos again. So hopefully soon. We were shut down because of...
We had a series of videos out there that was sort of dedicated as an experiment to Bible is funny stuff, mm-hmm. and one in which I dressed up in a goat costume, mm-hmm. and I'm in the middle of a field in a goat costume, and nobody has seen this video.
So because, it was the early days of the Bible is funny.
Right. We were just trying to figure out what this thing was.
Yeah, we did a couple of videos. There's a couple of videos. I still like those.
I still have the goat costume.
That's a great passage, too. It's a great passage about the goat, all of the sins of the people being confessed.
I know.
To the goat.
That's why we did it.
The poor goat. Daddy did what? She seemed so sweet. She was giving me carrots. Anyway, yes, there's a series of videos. Check us out, Isaac Improv. Follow us there for all of your funny stuff, funny videos. We do live shows. We do all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
So follow us there at Isaac Improv. And I'm sure he'll be back to do another podcast.
We'll see.
But until that time, thanks again so much for listening. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. Also, everybody that leaves reviews, thank you so much. That's so helpful. And I know leaving a review is such a pain. I don't like doing it.
It's the worst.
But it is so kind of you to do.
So good, though.
Because it helps us to get the word out about the podcast. So thank you so much. And we'll be back here very soon with another episode of the podcast. Talk to you then.
Later. The Bible.